This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, hello, everybody. How are you? You know, when you hear my voice, it is a Thursday. We are talking decor. We are talking design. It is Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala. Remember, you can download last week's podcast just in case you missed it on CliffCentral.com. I am super excited about today's show because I tell you all the time, you can see it on our Facebook page as well as Cliff Central's Facebook page. We're always talking about hashtag Taylor Blinds and hashtag Taylor Shutters. And you're always like, who's theirs? Who's who? What's that about? And today, I'm so excited because that's all we're going to talk about today. I want to remind you that Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. What does 60 years of being the leading manufacturer of blinds and shutters in South Africa mean? Excellence, of course, but it also means your home and your office can be a space of inspiration with Taylor Blinds and Shutters. So, before I introduce this gentleman, he says to me, he's a first generation German, and his surname is meant to be pronounced Medera, like Federer. But Anthony, you say it's Medera. You guys say Medera.
That's more South African German.
Yeah, I love that. Exactly. I love the remix. That's what we do as South Africans, right? How are you?
Very well, and you?
I'm so excited to be chatting to you.
Me too.
Before we go, anyway, for those of you guys who are thinking, who is Anthony Medera? Anthony is actually the owner of Taylor Blinds and Shutters. So we're going to be talking everything. He likes nature like me, so I want to ask him about game reserves. He likes shark tanks, like the real ones, like in the cave, in the water. So we're going to talk about that as well. But I wanted to ask you, were you watching the Open Championship this weekend?
Yes, golf. Of course. Very exciting.
And what was exciting for me was, I think the winner, Francesco Molinari, he is the first Italian to win a major tournament in golf. And I was, so when I saw that you like golf, like I've been watching golf with my late dad, like, since I was a teenager, we used to sit and watch the big cat, which was also interesting to see Tiger play.
Yes.
Because he did, up until I think the 12th hole, he was doing really well. And then
he was leading, and that's great for golf.
Right.
Really, really great for golf.
So, what's your handicap? I'm sorry to put you under pressure.
Okay.
I know you're like, I'm here to talk about my business.
I don't play as much golf as I used to, but I'm off a 13 handicap. But I don't know if I can play to that now. So, let's see.
Why? What's been happening? The business has been keeping you busy.
It's been very busy now. The last 4 years have been, it's been very busy. There's a lot that we've been doing. So something has to take a back seat.
So, what's exciting to me about you is that you're somebody who has lived your people talk about do what you love and no day will be work for you. I mean, you worked for, I think it's the Shark Association. I actually need to find the Charles Shark
Board. Yes.
For 6 years you did
correct.
That.
That's correct.
And this is something that you enjoy doing now. You enjoy swimming, all of that. How do you think, because now you're obviously managing director of the Trelidor company, and we'll go into that, but how did you find yourself weaving through these passions and deciding at each point, like, oh, this is what I want to do, and this point, this is what I want to do? Because I think people like you are incredibly inspiring. And by the way, guys, you can see what Anthony looks like. He is 50. You will not believe it. And I think a part of it is part of your happiness and your fulfillment, wouldn't you say?
I agree. Look, I'm a very passionate person.
Yeah.
I have been, since I was very, very young, I've been interested in sharks. So people grow out of it. As kids, everybody's interested in those type of things.
Did you watch Jaws?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, definitely. And I never grew out of it. Mm. So it was something I really wanted to do. And so I actually applied to the Natal Sharks Board. I just took a chance. I wanted to be a marine biologist.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was, and just after I completed school, and we had military service then, in those days.
Yes, I remember those days.
Yeah, 100%. So, but after that, then I applied to the Natal Sharks Board and I actually got in. So I'm very excited. But the opportunity to study marine biology wasn't necessarily there. I was a shark meshing officer. Mm. So what that is you go out to sea every day and you look after the nets that are out at sea. So we launched the boats, those yellow boats, people might know.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Did you launch those in South Africa?
Yeah, so that was, I was a skipper basically. And myself and my crew, we'd go out to sea every day. And look, it was incredible because everything that you dream about, you do. And so I saw so many incredible things. I also saw things that maybe are not so great on the netting side, which I think more and more we're getting away from, which is really good news.
Okay.
But it was the 6 years. It was, you know, there's many great parts of my life, but that was really one of the great parts of my life.
And so, how do you go from? You started marketing, right? You studied marketing.
Yeah. So I actually did my marketing degree correspondence while I was in the Natal Sharks board.
So. How? So what were you when you are waking up every morning for 6 years? You must have been so fit, by the way, because it would, anything that has to do with water is incredible exercise. You know, people have seen the swimmers of the world. Why will I study marketing? So what's happening to you? Like, is it like 4 years in and you're like, no, I need to find, or did your parents say, no, you need to do something? Like, how did you, because it's such a departure.
Yeah. So look, my dad was an engineer. He is an engineer.
Okay.
And mechanical. And so I did actually do my T courses just prior to me joining the Sharks board. So that technician courses at Witwatersrand are on Technikon. This was prior to joining the Sharks board. So, but engineering wasn't something for me. I didn't feel a connect on that.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I have, and I still have it very much today, I love trading.
Mm.
I love dealing with people and I love trading. And that was a hunger that was burning inside. So although working in the Sharks board was incredible, if I could have joined the two, I suppose that would have been the perfect scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so there was definitely this burning ambition to trade, and it so happened that I was trading products, have been trading products most of my life. But yeah, I think that's what drove me. And I thought, you know, let's look at a degree that can assist me in that. And it's just a learning, you know.
Mm.
And I say to my children now, it's important to get a degree. You know, it's a lot about the experience, not necessarily actually what you're learning in that particular course, but it's teaching you to apply your mind, discipline, all of those important things so you can take it on later on.
Yeah, because I think a lot of being an adult, and I mean, I work with younger people now, and so many of them think that they need to be spoon-fed. Like, they don't realize it's your life. That's what studying does. Studying is not just a means to an end, but it's a way for you to understand discipline, to know that nobody will push you to. And these are things that sometimes I feel are lacking. I think they're very lucky to have somebody like you talking about trading. The Trulidor Group is JSE listed.
That's correct. Yes.
That's since when? I know a lot of people right now want to be JSE listed because, you know, it's
2016. It was listed.
Wow.
And I'm very proud of being part of the group because that's a homegrown company.
Mm.
And it's got excellent management. I couldn't have asked for a better partner taking forward with Taylor Blinds. It's been really it's been a good partnership. Still short. It's still burgeoning.
Yes. You know, so since 2009?
So 2009, I sold the Hansgrohe, which was called Personalized Bathrooms Trading as Hansgrohe South Africa.
Okay.
I sold that to Hansgrohe GmbH at the time, which is AG. And then I worked on for 4 years stabilizing the business.
Okay.
Then I looked at for other opportunities because I'm an entrepreneur by heart and I was getting sucked into the corporate side.
Do you think that the entrepreneurship is something that you can teach, or do you think you're born as an entrepreneur? Because you started Hansgrohe in South Africa when you were 27, I think.
27, yeah. That's
so
right.
That's, I mean, most people are still just come out of varsity after getting drunk and you know, doing all kinds of things at risk. And you said, I want to be an entrepreneur. Do you think it's something you can teach, or do you think you're born?
I think that in the beginning, in the early years, it's something that possibly you're born with.
Yeah.
But you definitely, with the more experience that you have and the learnings you get, you can say, well, I can do this better.
Mm.
Or you know, maybe I need to go in this direction. Cliff Central is a good example of that. You know, so let me try this.
Yep.
And because I have enough experience.
Yep.
But yeah, I think when you're 27, you don't care about risk.
Youth.
Yeah, that's the youth. And then I had a partner that had a little bit of money. We didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
But And yeah, that's how it started. Yeah, that was an incredible journey as well.
So what did, how did that business prepare you for the second phase? Because as you were saying, you were starting to get sucked into the corporate beast, which can be, I'm trying to find a diplomatic way of putting it, a little bit not as soul fulfilling as running your own business or start doing your own startup. So what were you going through that made you go, I don't want to get sucked into this. It's been 4 years of doing this. I want to get out of this.
Yeah, it's the 100% the fulfillment.
Mm.
But what drives me and the excitement is building something.
Yes.
So if we look at that particular time, the Tap brand, we had one particular very strong local manufacturer, and we were nowhere. So the opportunities there for us to grow the brand while always remaining humble. I mean, it's always keep your feet on the ground, but
yes,
you know where you want to go.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to lie.
You
know? Yeah, I wanted to be the biggest. But
yeah,
so that's what we did. We started slowly, and we had the opportunity. What we were lucky enough, we came in early. So post 1994, a lot changed.
Mm.
And a lot of the brands that weren't here started coming in. So that, and we came in early. So that we were on the front foot.
Yeah.
And so we had time to build the brand organically to make sure that the foundation is good. And I was, and building it with the architects or the specifiers, interior designers, the developers, that was very, very important. Before I could even look at the channel didn't even really want anything to do with us because we weren't well known yet.
Yeah.
But that phase of the business, and that took a while. So that took 10 years. And,
wow.
But that phase of the business was exciting. It was every year something, we were growing exponentially. Then there was a hiccup in just before the millennium where it was tough in South Africa as well. Weakening rand. So that was tough. We lost a lot then.
Mm.
And then we rebuilt. So it was a definitely a rocky road, but the tech was up.
What made you not give up? What made you, I mean, as I think a lot of entrepreneurs, particularly right now, who are coming in this new, get in and they just feel like, oh my gosh, 2 years of not being able to pay my bills. Mm. I don't know. Because 10 years, I'm assuming in 10 years by now, maybe you're married, you know, you have responsibilities, you know, it's not like you're by yourself where you're okay to lose things. You're now, there's responsibilities. Mm. So what kept you going during that time?
You know that there was always some green shoots. So we always had, there was always a positive to see. And I think as well, I have to say, I didn't think there was anything else.
Mm.
You know, at that stage, I didn't think that there was anything else. I really saw that this was a good brand. I never realized what we could achieve. Mm. We were saying, you know, in the beginning, it was small steps, but I didn't think of anything else. I just said, well, I'm in here. I'm going to make this work.
I guess that's the moral of the story, isn't it? That you need to have blinders. You need to be very intentional with when you're an entrepreneur. I'm excited that we're talking about this because I think there's a lot of people in South Africa, myself included, who have gone through this period. And I think people like Gareth are exciting in creating things like Cliff Central because it's just another way somebody who's saying, I want to hold on to this. I'm going to make this happen. I am still talking to Anthony Miedera of Trelly Adore Innovations. So you then, okay, so you start this business, you sell it, you help them raise it. And then what happens to you? How do you end up with Trelly Adore Innovations and the Trelly Adore Group? How does that happen?
So I think as you go along in life, especially, so I'm in a business that's in the home decor environment,
yes,
or even a commercial hospitality and in the health side. And so you get to know a lot of people.
Mm.
And I was quite good friends with what turned out to be my new partner.
Okay.
And I got together with him. He said, Anthony, please have a look at it. So I had two great options on the table, what I felt. The one option, interestingly enough, didn't actually pan out later on so well.
Oh, wow.
But not for me. I didn't take that option, thank goodness.
Oh, yeah, for somebody else.
I believe I'm a very lucky person.
So you dodged a bullet.
And I've been lucky all my life.
Yeah.
You know? So But anyway, so I took this option with my partner Dave Nyland, and he was he organized the businesses into a more simplistic form,
right,
where there were two main brands. So it was Taylor Blinds and NMC. Now, NMC is a Belgian cornice company, so it's cornice, okay, and skirting, and that's our second brand under Trellidor Innovations.
Okay.
And the company, when I bought in, the company was Odyssey House. And I went in with my partner, it was him and I. And we worked together for 2 years, and there was an opportunity. Trellidor were listing, and we were speaking to them as well. So it's all about, it's really, if I have to look at it, it's definitely having the contacts, speaking to people, always keeping the communication open. Mm. You could have meetings, there's nothing coming of the meetings, but sooner or later something did come of it.
Mm.
So we met a Trellidor. They were looking to list, and they were looking for opportunities on the acquisition side. So that's where that scenario came in, and I think the whole deal came out where Dave Nyland, my partner, he exited, and I stayed on as a shareholder in the new business. And that's where we are now with Trellidor Innovations.
So I was reading an article this morning where they were interviewing Denzel Washington, and they were asking him how he's managed to stay married for 35 years. He first started off by saying he does what he's told and he shuts up.
Okay.
I was like, okay, that's a smart husband. But he also said something really interesting. He said he owes a lot of his marriage to his wife, Pauletta, and that Pauletta created a home for them. He said, anybody can buy a house, but to turn it into a home is a completely different scenario. And it made me think of you this morning, because you have been working, helping people turn houses into homes, right? And a house is a structure that has lights, that has, you know what I mean? But a home has simple things, simple touches, whether it is a tap. Because a tap, I'm telling you, a tap can make you happy.
Mm.
Okay. Or it is the decor, you know.
Yeah.
What are the things you found over the last 20, 30 years that you think are at the cornerstone of, because you help people create homes, whether it's making them feel safe in the homes, and we'll delve into, I mean, it's 60 years of Taylor Blinds. So we're going to go deep into the styles, etc. But I want to talk about a home, because you're married, you have children, and I think you've had to create a home for yourself in as much as you've had other people create homes for themselves. What do you think is at the cornerstone of turning that into spaces into homes?
I think without a doubt it's the personality of the person first and foremost.
Yes.
So if we had to look at that, I always try when I'm engaging with architects or with end users, wherever it might be, it's, you can see the personality and what they want to try and bring out in it. If you've got somebody that's very disciplined and structured, you might find a very minimalistic type of house with no clutter.
Yes.
And some people that like classical designs, they might like complicated.
Mm.
They might like intricate designs that their driveway makes a big statement.
Yes.
You know, so that type of stuff.
Yes.
So, and then you get the DIY people. You see the water tanks outside and the solar panels on the roof.
Yeah, I'm not like that. I grew up like that. I grew up with like things that were falling apart because my granddad didn't put them together properly.
Okay, so that was the DIY angle.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's about just bringing a little bit of yourself and your personality into
Your home is definitely that.
Yeah. And when people come to you for assistance as a business, and your salespeople, because that's where you started, I think you,
correct, yeah,
you know, you're a salesman. What are the things that you want your team to embody? So when a customer comes in, that's what they feel first when they interface, whether it is with Taylor Blinds or whether it is with Trellidor Innovations. What do you think your company and your people represent and do for customers?
Well, we have to listen to customers. That's what we have to do. So because ultimately we need to provide a solution. So even on innovation, we're trying to look at the solutions. So we have to listen to the customer and find out what they want. So that's, I always indicate to my salespeople, we must do that. So let's listen to the customer, find out exactly what they want. And then we can guide them, because then that's where our expertise come in.
Yeah.
So we can say, okay, so this is what their needs are. This is the the type of personality they are, let's try and look at what we can fit in terms of what we provide to them.
Yeah, because I mean, I think that ultimately, interior designers always say this to me, that ultimately, no matter what you think, you don't live in the home. Mm.
That's correct.
You are going to have to let go, because this person has to live there. Even though you don't think this is the right direction, you sometimes, as you say, you have to guide and say, well, you know, I think this is what you should do, so this is what you should get into. So before we get into the nitty-gritty, by the way, remember that you can download this podcast on cliffcentral.com. You can also go to our Facebook page to click on the link and listen to this interview 1,000 times, share it with your friends, or remember, go to also at Taylor Blinds on social media to check out this interview and the many, many other products that they have. 60 years worth of experience, over 80 styles in blinds and shutters. So this is the real deal, real thing, right? So before we get into that, Anthony, you said you started your business in Joburg, but you also lived in Natal. Are you nomadic? And now you live in Cape Town.
Pretty much, yeah. It's nice to move around. Maybe somebody's chasing me. I don't know.
But are you originally from Joburg and moved around or from Natal?
No, I was born in Port Elizabeth. So.
Oh, you are nomadic.
Exactly.
Get out of here. So you went from PE?
So look, my dad moved around a lot.
Okay.
So he was, he's also chasing the dream. So
okay.
And very good in business. He's a corporate man through and through.
Okay.
And he moved around a lot. So we went Pretoria, PE, Cape Town, back to Johannesburg. But I stayed in school in Cape Town.
Okay.
And yeah, so I've moved around. Even when I was a kid, we moved around a lot. And then when I got older, it's just, it seems so easy just to move around.
Yeah.
So although I've been in the Cape since 2005, so that's quite a lot of stability for me. So what is next?
Yeah, exactly. Just don't leave the country.
But we have to commute. You know that airplanes have become buses now. Mm. You see it at the airport all the time. You see the same people.
Yes.
It's just like that. You know, coming a 2-hour flight and then you're here, or a 2.5-hour to Durban or whatever it might be. You need to move around.
Yeah, because you guys have 2 offices. You've got one here in Johannesburg and then one in Cape Town.
Yeah, so Taylor Blinds has got a branch here, and then our factory in Cape Town. And then our head office, which is Trelly Doors head office, and they also have a big factory in Durban.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So those are the 3 key areas. But we need to be national. I mean, there's no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it's a national build. I have a business. I have Trelido in my house, and I think many South Africans do. And we'll get to that side in a second. But okay, so my first podcast, which I'm sure you guys have listened to, I had a huge issue with my landlord. I had these beautiful wooden, I'm still trying to learn the
Venetian blinds,
and then he changed them, and I just didn't know what to do. So I wanted to ask you, because I feel like going forward, I need to be able to speak about this. I kind of tailor blinds as part of my show and then not be able to make the distinction. What is the distinction between a blind and a shutter?
Okay, so the blind. So first of all, a shutter is put into a frame.
Okay.
And it's louvered. So you open and close the louvers either with a handle, or you just put your hand on the louver and open and close it. But it's in the actual frame.
Okay.
And it's usually mostly made of wood, although now aluminium has become very, very popular.
Is it because of weather or just a sustainability?
So actually in part both of those.
Okay.
But because wood by nature has the certain characteristics of wood, later on you can be exposed to warping.
Yes.
And especially in moist climates. And so aluminium is gained popularity because of that. And also there's the security angle. But there's two parts to the aluminium. There's actually wind and security.
Okay.
So, but they're usually quite, they're big products. They can be 600 millimeters wide, up to a meter wide, and over 2 meters tall.
Okay.
So they're almost like doors, if you know. And you can do a lot of different things with them. To move them out the way is always very, very important.
Mm.
So you can stack them to one side or to the other side. You could slide them like a sliding door, or you could cottage them. In other words, cottage open. It's like a cottage doors.
You open and close cottage doors. Yes.
Yeah. So that's what we call cottage style.
Okay.
So there's lots of different options that you have in terms of the shutter. On the blind, on the blind side, it sounds like I'm saying.
Double entendre. Yeah,
there's always something about when we talk about the blind. but on the blind side, there's lots of different types. There's rollers. The whole point of it is really the main point of it is for light management of light and energy. So we have different types that we use. There can be some that you want to totally block out the light. There's others that you want to reflect the light to a certain extent, but you want good view. So there's lots of different options. There can be options in terms of hospitality or health sector, and you have certain types of blinds for that, for those applications.
Oh, yes, because I have noticed that in hotels, it is very different to, say, if you're in a hospital. Because I assume that besides the decor, it's also people are coming in from all parts of the world at different time zones and people want to sleep at different times.
Yeah, it needs to be dark.
Ah.
But also antimicrobial is important. So our product antimicrobial. So what happens basically, there's air around us all the time passing through the products, passing through the blinds. And it's important in a hospital or in the health sector to have antimicrobial properties.
Okay.
Bit of a mouthful, but...
Yes, I know. I had to write it down, microbial. Yeah.
So, but basically what it means is it's that the blind will be free from fungus and bacteria.
Oh.
So that's important. So it doesn't hold on to it.
Yeah, so somebody like me who's allergic to dust...
So that's important.
...would be, yeah...
So if you put that in your home and you've got the antimicrobial, then yeah, that's fantastic. Then that plays a big part. And that's actually it's a rule or a law that you need to have in certain sectors. So that's important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that we do on the blinds because blinds are almost – so I would say if you had to look at the biggest competitor to a blind, it's a curtain.
Yes.
And so that's definitely on the aesthetic side, trends, fads. Whereas a shutter is actually timeless.
Mm.
And the changes to shutters over the years has been quite small.
Mm.
There's certain improvements and innovations, but it's more you revitalizing the range rather than a revolution. It's more of an evolution.
I mean, I think what I love about them, and listen, I said this the last time, that my mother's one of the most stylish people I've ever met, but my mom really believes in curtains.
Okay. Yeah.
And loves them, and every 3 months, take them down, wash them. And there was one thing I knew. I was not going to do that. I knew that my relationship with blinds would be a long one. Yeah. And just because I find them more manageable. And even though it is a competitor, I think there's a personality type that likes, you know, the big drapes, weird looks.
Mm.
And I'm more, the less fuss it takes for me, the better, and the more aesthetically pleasing. So I do like aesthetically pleasing things as well. So I agree with you. I think it's a personality thing. Mm. Although I have seen places where you have both, where you know, you're able to have a shutter and then maybe sort of thick draping.
So we could talk to your mom and do that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good idea. So we'll give you the design, but you never close the curtains.
Exactly.
You know? They hang on the side.
So... I how much did you know about blinds before or shutters before getting into the business? Because you're already working with interiors before, so I'm sure you must have had some sort of vague knowledge about it.
I have to be very honest that my knowledge was quite small.
Okay.
So what we would have put into our homes, that was my experiences that I had, but coming into the business. The manufacturing of it was a very, very steep learning curve because we've got an 8,000 square meter factory where we're fabricating all our products and there's a lot. It's actually quite a complicated manufacturing process.
Mm.
There's lots. If you had to look at a blind, there's cords, there's ladders, there's components, there's the head rails, there's the slats. How many slats do you use in a particular length? So there's a lot involved. Shutters are actually simpler. They're more expensive, but they're simpler to manufacture. But so the steep learning curve is on the manufacturing process. We have over 200 people that are at, wow, at Taylor Blind. So it's quite a significant process. And definitely that was a big learning curve. And I mean, that's what that definitely excites me, because it's nothing better than to go is to go onto a steep learning curve. So that was it was exciting, but quite daunting at the same time.
I think that if something doesn't scare you, then really, what's the point of doing it, right? Need to. And also, if you're not learning, you're not growing. And this could be your third, fourth, fifth business, and if you're not learning, like, what's the point of it? And I think that's probably why. I mean, when I read your CV and I look at you and I look at your bio, it's very clear that you want to learn. And as soon as you feel like, okay, this is good, I've got this, like, okay, what's the next challenge, you know? And I think probably it comes from your dad as well, because he seems like a gentleman who was kind of like, you know what, I'm just going to take the bull by the horns and do this thing. I'm very excited to still be chatting to Anthony Midera from Taylor Blinds and Shutters. We are having a fantastic conversation. We've talked golf. Where have you been? We've talked golf. We've talked Shark Tanks. We've talked absolutely everything. So you were saying that shutters are very important for security as well. Can you explain how, for people who are like, okay, what is the extra money for? Because I think that one of the things that I want people to understand in this podcast is that it's not just about spending extra money for the sake of spending extra money. Blinds and shutters can be a way for you to extend and show your personality, one, your taste and what you love, but also give you a sense of what you want in your home. And not just a house, is to be safe. And it's important to understand what you're paying for. And I think just a little bit of education for our listeners would be great.
So the security shutter, well, first of all, how it came about in South Africa was Duncan Taylor, there's three generations of Taylor in the business. Obviously, for 60 years, there had to be. But he saw this aluminium shutter, which it's a hurricane type shutter.
Okay.
So it was used, like, particularly in Florida, where you have the hurricanes. Mm. We have the tropical cyclones down here. But so in other words, it's a product that can withstand serious wind.
Yeah.
So that was the starting point. But then what you notice, we said, okay, so it's a very, very strong, robust product. Can we apply it from a security perspective? So that's where it was born. So, and we called the product Shutter Guard. That was the name. So we have a hurricane product and a Shutter Guard product, and it's a very, very strong aluminium shutter.
Okay.
And I think if you're just looking from an aesthetic perspective, and you want to secure your home, you want it to be safe in your home. All of us want to be safe in the home when we're sleeping at night for our families, and this product looks stylish. So it's security with style. That was a slogan we used a few years back as well. So you have so your house doesn't look like a prison when you're trying to burglar bar it out. Or
yeah, because I must say that was one of the things, I think I speak on behalf of almost every South African, in the late 90s when all of us started realizing that we were becoming an international community, and it was just not just this little group of South Africans. We started to feel very unsafe, and everybody put burglar bars everywhere. And what it does is, on a beautiful day when you're looking out into your garden, you feel like you're in prison. And I think that over the last 10 years in design in South Africa particularly, we have been trying to get away from the "we live in a prison." Like we've been trying, I think, even mentally, and I think that's what you're talking about, that you do want to open your windows and not feel like, am I in the right place? Why do I feel so worried about being here?
Definitely, and there's so much you can do with it. You can remove everything out the way in the day. So you can open up your whole veranda. So everything, you don't even notice the shutters as they stack to one side, or you slide it out the way. So from that side, it works very well. Aesthetically pleasing. You can use any color you want. We have standard colors, but naturally you can use any colors. And very, very strong. So what we've worked on in terms of the security side, we have six patents.
Okay.
And just to try and explain it as simply as possible, the louvre is on a shutter. We've put it into a frame.
Okay.
So it's a completely closed, fixed closed frame, and that makes it very hard to break. And then we slide it into the frame of the shutter. So it's actually the shutter's made up of out of two parts. That is one of our patents that we patented 8 years ago. Then we also look at the locking system.
Okay.
So the locking system, we have a stainless steel pin that protrudes 60 millimeters. And that allows, that's very difficult to pop off the track. So that was also a patent that we passed. We also have a louvre lock. But that's more privacy because you can't really break the shutter, but you can, if you're coming in the outside and you open the louvre and you peek in into a house, then people, you know, they might not want that. So they want their privacy.
Yeah.
So we have a louvre lock and you can lock the louvres.
Because my old blinds, and these are not shutters, but my older blinds in my second house, in the evening you could see in, which just irritated me. And obviously I had no, you know, when you're starting to learn about blinds, that was only my second set of blinds. Mm. So this is now my third set. So I'm learning as I go along. First, I thought, okay, just get a nice, beautiful blind. And I'm understanding, like, there are times when I don't want people to see in at night.
Yeah.
But I also don't want the light to be shut out completely. Mm. So there are all these extra things that you have to think about when you're learning how to put blinds on. If you were to give people 3 to 5 tips, maybe 3, on choosing the right, and maybe we can split it. Maybe we can say 3 tips for blinds and 3 tips for shutters. What are the first things I should think about when I'm thinking, okay, when I'm looking at my window and I want to apply, what must I think and consider before coming to you as a business?
So views is very important. That plays a big role. So exactly what you said to your point earlier, you want to have something with a view. You don't want to shut it out completely.
Mm.
So consider having a screen type fabric which you can look through.
Okay.
That's the first step, and that will probably be in the living areas.
Okay.
In the TV area, there might be a consideration of putting a day night bracket on. So this is just, so I don't want to complicate the tips you're asking me to, but just talking about the day night means you can actually put both on.
Okay.
So it's got two roller blinds on one bracket. And the one is a blockout and the other one is a screen. So at night you roll down the blockout, or if you want to watch TV in the day or whatever it might be. And then during the day, if you want to see the view, you roll up the blockout and you drop down the screen.
Okay.
And then you can see through. So you've got the, it reflects the light, but you can still see through it. So definitely from a view comfort perspective, that would be one thing you have to consider.
Okay.
Child safety always throws in a curveball. So we're very cognizant of child safety. If you can think of the chain on a blind, the manual chain, and it has a loop, and a child could walk past because they're shorter, and they could hook their head over it, and they can strangle from it.
So
what you need to do is have a child safety part on the chain, and it just on any specific weight bigger than a certain kilograms, it just pops off.
So interestingly, that's the reason why earlier this year we ended up changing the blinds, because I had been asking the landlord, because I'm trying to figure out what kind of house I want to get. I've gone to houses, but my taste has changed very, very close to 40. So now it's very important to have a house that embodies who I am. And we have a 4-year-old who's with us on the weekends, and the cords from the blinds were just becoming, you know, it was pulling them, and we were just worried that something would happen. So I'm glad you mentioned child safety, because a lot of people think of the aesthetics and not actually holistically.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. Yeah. Definitely, they have to consider that.
Yeah.
And that gives you peace of mind.
Completely.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's tip number 2.
Yeah, and then it's the type of blind you want. So do you want a roller blind? What do you like? What do you look like? How does it fit into your home?
Mm.
So you get Venetian blinds with very warm wood slats. So it actually enhances the home if that's the type of look you're looking for. So we have a bamboo slat in a Venetian blind, or we have a basswood slat. and in warmer colors. So if you're in a colder area or you just like that type of look and feel, then that's definitely something that will be well suited.
Mm.
We have our woven blinds that are made out of wood and bamboo. Excellent for like a game reserve type feel, almost like if you're in the bush. Those are the type. Those are the type of decisions. So it's very. So you need to look at the aesthetic, so the actual feel of the home, and say, okay, I want a roller blind, and then but then I need to color coordinate it with my walls. All of those things can be done, but that's the third part to the advice, I suppose, or the selection that you want to make in terms of a blind. And there's lots of different options.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard that you guys have over 80 styles, I thought, somebody like me, I get to a menu, and if it's like more than 3 pages, I don't know what to do. I was trying to imagine like these 80 styles and what to figure out. I just want to go through Anthony Meters. Remember, you can download this podcast on cliffcentral.com. Also go to our Facebook page on Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, to download the podcast. And also the tips that I'm going to give you, you can hashtag Taylor Blinds, Taylor Tips, and Taylor Shutters. So Anthony says, the first thing to consider is your view when picking a blind or a shutter. So what do you, you don't want to block the view. So you don't want to necessarily not look outside or, so always think about your view. And there's certain things to consider as well. How much light you want in and what time you want the light. That will also include the screen and the fabric that you choose. So when you are speaking to your manufacturer or to your designer, have that in mind. If you have children, and even if you don't have children, the second tip is around child safety. Remember to also ask what mechanisms you can put and what you can build to make sure that your blinds and your shutters are child safety. I think the last thing anybody wants is to have an incident with a child. And then lastly, the type of blind you want. Now, this is interesting, okay, because people who know me know I love fashion. So I would have gone, the type of blind you want is the first thing, but actually it's not. Like the look and the feel of it is always the last thing. So the type of blind you want, I always say a house speaks to you. So get into the house, let the vibrational energy of the house tell you what it wants, figure out what color scheme you want. If you're quite minimalist, think of what that's going to look like. If you are me, you love art deco and have a bit of traditionalist in you, think of that as well. You can have beautiful floral patterns. So think of the type of blind you want. Remember, Anthony also mentioned that you can have woven blinds and bamboo blinds. And shortly, I will be asking him about trends. So remember to hashtag at Taylor Blinds, at Taylor Tips, and Taylor Shutters, and follow them on the interwebs to get more tips. I also want to remind you that Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Is there a way to dress up your windows the way you do yourself? By the way, you must always dress up yourself, okay? It's not just the blinds that must be dressed up, okay? Of course there is, with a variety of styles and functions of Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Keep your home trendy, season in and season out, from shutter gut, aluminium security shutters for maximum security, to blinds made to set every type of mood. So we were talking about dressing up your blinds as dressing up yourself in trends. What are some of the trends that we can look forward to in the next coming years? I know South Africa is finally waking up to sustainable housing. So we are thinking about how we retain light and energy, particularly warmth, and make houses cool in the summer. If you think of South African houses, I'm sure, Anthony, you've seen this. I mean, your family's from Germany. Houses in Europe and America are very well insulated. Mm. And our houses, we literally lose heat. It's colder inside than it is outside. And so a lot of architects and a lot of builders and a lot of people like you, businesses like you, are now considering how you build your house and make sure that you have the right sort of energy in. So what are some of the trends we can look forward to in terms of blinds and shutters?
So let me first start in terms of the blinds, talking to your point. No doubt energy efficiency is critical.
Mm.
We here in South Africa, we have space. We're gifted with a lot of space, and we love big windows. So that's a challenge because, especially now, to get the plans passed, it becomes very, very difficult if your energy coefficient is not matching. So in other words, your windows are too big, and your house is not efficient. So we play our products play a role. Either you can stop the light by putting an exterior blind, you're putting an exterior blind so it comes into contact with the exterior blind first, before it gets to the window and before it comes into your house. So then that already reduces the heat and the energy coming into the house or the home or the office or wherever it might be. Or you put it on the inside and it performs a similar function. But putting it on the inside also has another function that keeps your home warm. Mm. If you've heated your home, the blinds help to retain that warmth or that temperature in the house. So you have both. You have an option of putting it outside, or you have an option of putting it inside.
So when you were talking about the outside blinds, usually when you hear about things that are outside, people always worry about the harshness of the light. I mean, South Africa, at some point, we were number three, and Australia was number one in terms of cancer, skin cancer issues. We have now surpassed them. We are now number one. So our light and our sun is quite harsh. The African sun is quite harsh. So how do you protect? How different are the exterior blinds to interior blinds?
So a lot of the exterior blinds, they're just a more robust material, but it performs the same function, so you can still see through it. So it's a screen.
Okay.
You can have a lot of different ones. There can be canvases, PVC, but in general, screens are the most popular.
Okay.
So it's just a stronger screen, and then you need to secure it because of wind and outside conditions.
Yeah,
so
especially with Southeast isn't Cape Town.
You don't want your blinds to go walking down the road.
Can you have both, or do you have one or the other?
Well, people can have both. It depends if you're actually closing your veranda, then you'd possibly do it inside as well.
All right.
But what the big thing was is air conditioning. I mean, so that's obviously, so it's the CO2 emissions. That's something we have to take consideration. If you're using the air conditioning all the time, because it's so hot from the sun, or in the winter you need to warm it up. So those, so definitely, window covering products reduce the use of air conditionings. Mm. You can definitely feel it. You know, I felt it. We were doing an office installation in Cape Town, and I was there managing the process or just looking in, and it was so hot that day, and all the workmen that were trying to finish the office in time to open the office, and people were sweating and were in their vests. And then we put the blinds up as we did, fitted all the blinds, and then the temperature changed. We could feel a 5-degree temperature drop. It was incredible.
Wow.
So it makes a big, big difference if you can just reflect the light or reflect a certain amount of light.
Wow.
Then you don't have to now use the air conditioning or maybe have your hot water bottle. I don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I think that's what we need to get away from as South Africans, is learning how to insulate the house and have the proper blinds and shutters to allow you to retain warmth when you need to, or to release warmth when you need the house to be cool. And as you said, something as simple as closing a blind can change that completely. Mm. Now, you have a range called the Sheer Weave range. Can you tell us a little bit about the Sheer Weave range?
So it's a screen. So that is exactly what you were saying. You'd like to see through through a blind so you can see the view. So the screens are really manufactured for that purpose. They, I think what's we have different opening factors. So we have a 3% opening factor, 5% opening factor, and a 10% opening factor. In general, that's what we provide. And what it means is how much you can see through it.
Oh, okay.
So 10% is obviously you can see the most out of those three through it.
Okay.
And it does play a certain role in the reflection of the light. So if you have a higher openness factor, then it reflects less light.
Okay.
But a big factor in screen is the colors. So some people might say, look, you know, my house is white. I really want to go for white blinds. But so fair enough, that suits the house, but massive glare.
Yeah, because that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking glare as you're talking.
It's supposed to do that, but it fails because of the glare.
Mm.
And even on a blockout, you still get that a white blockout. You still get glare coming through on the side. So darker colors, especially on an energy efficient side, dark colors are much better, and you can see so much better through the darker colors because your eyes don't strain so much. So definitely on the screen side, dark colors.
So I mean, there's so many things to take away from this, and I think, like, for me, what's interesting is when people buy houses, they'll tell you to get a house that's north facing, right? So you get all the light, and you know, people come in, and they get the serotonin, and they feel good about themselves. But it can be too much. It can actually impede your sleep patterns. So, what advice do you have for somebody who, for instance, Rachel, who was the producer for the show, Rachel had neighbors who moved in who were worried about their safety, and they installed, so she was, her blinds were fine.
Yeah.
They installed these huge lights, these beam lights.
For outside.
Yeah. That went straight into her bedroom.
Yeah.
And she, poor Rachel, she tried everything. So when you have something like that where the light actually does not help, what kind of shutter or blind should you go for if you really are like, I need to sleep and I can't sleep with so much light coming into the room?
So block out. So you definitely block need out. To put block out. So if you want the view in your bedroom, then I would suggest a day-night bracket, because then you can put, like I said, a screen in the day and a block out at night. But block out is the answer.
Okay.
And then also what we have is we have channels on the side of the blind. So if you can just picture the actual fabric feeding into these side channels, what that does, then it blocks out almost 100% of the light.
Oh, wow.
Because if you just did the blind without it, there's still a little bit of light that comes out
on the sides. The little slithers around.
The slithers around the side. Yeah. So if you wanted a total block out, then you've got to consider the channels. And that makes a difference. The one point I wanted to make, just getting back to the trends, was motorization. If you can just think about
about to ask you about motorization.
Yeah. So motorization is... it's getting massive prominence. If we look at home automation and even office automation, if you look at some of these big projects you've seen in going up in Santa now, maybe Sicily is a good example, and they track the sun. So the window coverings track the sun. So if when there's no sun coming through it, they allow the blinds to be open, fully open or tilted open. And then they tilt as the sun starts coming up, they start covering the sun and they start moving up. So the technology on blinds is taken a big step forward. It's definitely the trend that's happening now. And also a big retrofit market, because if we're living in our home now and we say, okay, so I want to motorize my blind, but you know, where's the plug? So you don't want to go and do that. So we've got strong battery. The batteries are getting stronger and stronger on the motor side. So you can retrofit with a motor that you charge it once or twice a year with a USB port. It has a USB port for charging, and that makes it very, very simple. And that's actually fun. You know, you push a button and the blind opens, and it's
so, you know, it you, makes it so I can't simple. Believe how much you're in my mind. So one of my favorite Christmas movies. I'm very corny. Like, I really love Christmas. Like, I make Christmas breakfast. So my favorite movies is The Holiday with Cameron Diaz and Jude Law. And
she's got this big house. Yes. Okay.
And she's got this big house in LA. And she's got the automated blinds on the, you know, where she presses them on the side. And one of the things I was going to ask, and I'm really like, I'm not even saying this as a joke. I was like, how would it work in South Africa with load shedding?
You know what I mean? Like, batteries.
Yeah. So can you have both? Can you manually override, or do you suggest for most South Africans to go with a battery option because of...
Yeah, that's you can override it.
Okay.
So it is a personal choice.
Okay.
I think it's simpler on the battery side. There's no cables and having to find plug points, etc. And then if the electricity goes off,
exactly.
So battery does play a big role, but you know, in a massive office facility and that, you can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it needs to be connected to the business the building management system.
Yes.
So it's preference.
So,
but very important.
Yeah, exactly. So how does it work? Let's say you're not trying to retrofit it into your house. Let's say you're building a new house, which is something I hope to do, and then get the blinds in. Where do all the plug, I mean, do you start from scratch to figure out where the plug points go for the blinds to work motorized?
Yeah, definitely. So if it's a new build, then and you have that opportunity, and the architect's involved in terms of the design, specifically on the window covering side, then you'd need to put a power point, not necessarily a plug, but a power point up at the top where the window reveal is. So it's all hidden. And you can actually hide it behind a reveal, so it's sort of window covering lingo, but it's just that that window cavity. They
call it a reveal. Yes, yeah. Okay.
And they put the power points in there, and if you put a cassette over a roller blind, you don't even see it. So it's important to do it first. Definitely, it's important to do it first in the design. Definitely. I mean, the houses need that. If you're going to put it in the house, you need to think about that.
So I was going to ask you this. I'm sure you're expecting me to ask you this. I think everybody's expecting me to ask you this. So I'm going to ask on behalf of all of you listening, what kind of blinds do you have in your home?
Sure. I have shutters and I have blinds.
Okay.
And I have blockout.
Mm-hmm.
So I have blockout. So we've got a 6-month-old baby. So,
wow! Yeah. Congrats.
Her name's also Rachel. Funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we have blockout in her bedroom because you definitely need darkness, and then we also have blockout in our bedroom because my wife can't sleep with light. I have no problem.
I can't. I'm exactly. I nearly said her name. I'm not allowed to, but I'm exactly like your wife. Okay. I need darkness to sleep.
So I actually don't need it, but she does.
Yeah, I do.
So we have it in our bedroom, and then downstairs I've got screens with, so we definitely look at the view. But you know, I was getting into this business, and I bought white screens. So the good news is I'm changing them. So and you can change them. You know, you're not stuck.
Oh, can you?
So it's very, very easy to change. So I thought, I'm stuffed now because I picked white, and that's very a lot of glare. But we're changing them to a darker color. So I'm learning as I go along myself. And then I have hurricane shutters outside. We have a lot of wind, and it protects the veranda, especially in winter when it's cold. So I also have hurricane shutters on the outside.
Those are the ones you were saying are quite durable and
very strong.
And I'm meant for very, very strong. Those. So when I lived in Cape Town it's almost going to be 20 years ago, nobody had told me about a southeaster.
Okay.
And you know this is going to be funny.
Yeah.
And I worked at the Fair Lady building at the foreshore. And I was walking to the taxi rank by the Civic Theater. And when you're inside the building, obviously everything feels just fine. And as I was crossing the road, I had to hold on to a pole. And I remember people laughing at me in their cars. And I was like, damn it, this
you can get blown over.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They are so strong.
Very strong.
I mean, if the hurricane shutters can withstand that, I'm telling you, a southeaster, if you've never experienced it, there's nothing like it. I remember driving with my friend Jackie, and I think she lived in Bellevue, and she was driving a little Golf, and we were on a bend, and I literally felt the wheels of the car like lift. I was just like, this is crazy.
Yeah, you change lanes when you don't want to change lanes. I mean, it's
yes, exactly.
And then you actually see some of the videos that you've seen maybe in some of the storms we've had where the cars actually move.
Yep.
You know, so they're parked and they move down the road or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, it's very funny when you're looking at it, but when you're experiencing it, it's
not so great.
It's not so awesome.
And you can get blown over. It's quite scary.
Exactly. Yeah. No, most definitely. Oh my God, we're almost out of time. It's always so weird when you're like, you think you have all this time and then you realize you don't. I want to get into where you are hoping to take the business over the next couple of years. You are an innovator, an entrepreneur, a salesman, naturalist. Not a naturalist like those guys. Not like that.
Not on
the beach naturalist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Because
as I said it, I was like, people are going to think, oh my God, when we see him on the beach, will he be naked? No, like a nature lover. Maybe it's more closer to that. What are some of the innovations? I know particularly living on the continent, you guys, as you patent things, you learn more about our environment. You learn more about sunlight. You learn more about energy efficiency. Where do you see the business going in terms of blinds? Where would you like it to go? It's also around safety.
So firstly, the security shutter is very, very important. Yeah. What it hasn't got currently is automation.
Okay.
So that's definitely something in terms of innovation. The shutters are very big. You can make a shutter a meter wide and 3 meters tall. So they're very heavy. So they're actually quite easy to use manually, to be honest. But that's definitely a big step forward is on the automation side on the shutters.
Yeah.
On the blind side, automation, yes. Fabrics, yes. But the automation side, making it more and more simple, we definitely have to go in that direction. And different fabrics for different fields, they will continue to be brought in. And I think making the shutter out of a different material is going to be the next step. So if we look at aluminium currently, and we look at the opportunities for different material, and we actually been working quite a lot behind the scenes on this, and we believe it's going to be a very big innovation, but we're really looking at different material to take a big step up in terms of the shutter, make it easier to manufacture, from rather using, instead of extrusions, we'd use injection molding. So those type of things we're looking at on an innovation side. So that's where I definitely see we're taking the company. Yes, we also need to put more processes in the factory.
Of course.
I think we are the industry leading in terms of manufacture time on a shutter.
Yes, I mean 60 years.
Yeah, but almost we're talking about the amount of time it takes to actually manufacture a shutter in the factory.
I see.
So it takes us 10 days from the time you place the order to the time that you receive your shutter. And so that's important, and we know how to make volumes. But we need to improve processes, so there's a lot of innovation within that context that we need to look at. And we are introducing, in September, introducing a range of exterior blinds, which Taylor Blinds has never had in the past.
Ah, okay.
So we're also very excited about that.
I mean, it'd be nice to chat to you once they've launched, so we can chat to the market and people can find out, you can let people know what they're like and how they should consider them, etc. I mean, I think there are a lot of people in Joburg who would love to find out more about the exterior blinds. So those are being launched in September.
That's launched in September. And Joburg, I mean, wintertime is very glary in Johannesburg. I mean, it really is. So that, I mean, that plays a role.
And the thing is, it's glary, but it's cold. Mm. That's the other thing. I mean, I think for me, that's why blinds are the future. I'm really interested in an energy efficient house that retains heat and keeps the house cool in the summer. I think it's, without that, really, it's like a fail. Anthony did say that he's got a 6-month-old baby called Rachel. Last week, we spoke about taking children's rooms and having them, I don't want to say mutate because then they sound like aliens, but being able to grow those spaces. So taking a room that was a toddler's room and moving it forward for a teenager or baby room that becomes a toddler's room. So it's all about innovation in that way. You can download that podcast on cliffcentral.com. And remember, you can also choose in that show. We also tell you what fabrics and blinds you can choose for children's rooms as well, because that's also something really beautiful. You mean you can have beautiful pinks, you can have fabric. Yeah. So it's not just about you as the adult only. Every kind of space in the home can be made beautiful and lovely. It has been a joy talking to you.
It's been incredible for me as well. Thank you.
It's been absolutely fantastic. So I know you like to go away. No, this has nothing to do with blinds.
Okay.
What are your favorite animals in the bush to...
I've always liked the leopard, such a survivor.
Yes.
And I've been lucky enough to be part of the Cape Leopard Trust, a sponsor of it for quite a while. And that's really survival, because if we look at the for the Cape Leopard to survive in the Cape for as long as it has done, it's just incredible. So I love that. And I love going to the bush. I love the lion coalitions of Sabi Sands, example, or Kruger Park.
Yes.
And naturally, I've always loved sharks. So that's always a big part of my life and my children's life. I mean, it's so nice to be able to see that at such a young age they could name any animal when they're growing up.
I think it's so important when you, we are lucky to be in Africa.
Definitely.
We're so lucky. And we need to be very serious. I try and go away to a nature reserve at least 3 times a year. And part of that reason is human beings have this tendency to feel that we are more superior than all the other species. But actually, we're all interconnected. All the species are interconnected. And if we can get children to have empathy and understand animals and feel comfortable around animals, we then begin to have human beings that are cognitive of pollution, that are cognitive of what they eat. And it becomes a better, happier... Yeah.
It's a knock-on effect.
It really is. I mean, earlier this year on my birthday, I went to Cape Agulhas, which is the southernmost tip point in Africa. And it's a South African national park. It's not expensive. And the views are amazing. And you get to be in this wonderful place and think, this is my home. This is where I live.
It's on your doorstep.
It's on your doorstep. Yeah. You don't even have to pay that much. You can drive. I hope that you are blessed with more life, Anthony, to give us more innovative ideas, to teach more people to be nature lovers and to respect the environment. We really need to respect our environment and our homes. I just want to remind you that Living It Up with me, Lerato Shola, is brought to you by Tele Blinds and Shutters. Take control of your light. Yes, temperature and security. Turn your window or doorways into your room's best accessory with Taylor Blinds and Shutters. You'll be spoiled for choice between Taylor's aesthetic blinds and functional shutters, which bring a world of color, texture, patterns, and taste to your space. It has been so nice hanging out with you. I will be back next week. Remember, go to cliffcentral.com to get this podcast. One more thing, Anthony, before you go. People who want to get in touch with your business, either to upgrade their blinds or to have shutters done, or somebody's building right now and they want the architect to get in touch with your business, where can they get a hold of you?
So the best is our website. Definitely our website is the best because all the details are on there. So all our contact details.
So that's tellerblinds.co.za.
Correct.
TAYLORBLINDS.co.za. But I think there is also an email address. I think it's sales
at tellerblinds.co.za.
Yes, so you can email sales at tellerblinds.co.za to fit your own shutters, fit your own blinds, like bring the sexy back into your bedroom, the safety back into your house, and the good looking textures, color into your house. It has been lovely hanging out with you, Anthony.
Thank you.
You are a breeze to interview. May we do this again in September when we talk about the exterior blinds. Have a wonderful time in Cape Town.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.